Eternal Father, it's truly an honor to stand before your people and a privilege, but I know it's the Holy Spirit that gives clarity. It's the Holy Spirit that gives insight and revelation to what you're trying to say to the church in this day, in this hour, in this moment. So my prayer now, God, that you open their eyes to see your plan, your destiny for their lives right now. Open their ears to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and then let their heart begin to embrace the reality of your word. Let it become rhema, living, vibrant, and active in their everyday activity. Father, in advance, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you the honor. I declare and decree victory in every aspect of their lives today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before I get started, I want to say a couple things. I speak three languages fluently. I speak English, I speak in tongues, and I speak Ebonics. So ask God for the interpretation, okay? Amen. Amen. I brought up some devices here, and one of the devices is called a cell phone. I know everybody has a cell phone. Amen. Put your cell phone out. I know you got a cell phone. You want to put it out, but most of the time, they say put your cell phones away because you can't get a phone call. Amen. But put your cell phone out. I went old school. This is a flip phone. But you know, this coming back one of these days, so I held on to it. It's a flip phone, but cell phones didn't come out until about 1983. In 1973 was the very first cell phone call made. If you weren't born then, you're like, what are he talking about? Well, prior to then, all we had to do was have a dime and go to the phone booth, put that dime in, and make that call. Amen? But today, through the innovation of man, we have an opportunity to make several calls. The question is, will you answer the call? I'll make a call right now and see if they answer the call. I know, it's kind of different, but I'll make a call. And sometimes calls don't go through. Various reasons. Sometimes you didn't pay your bill. Sometimes you're on the wrong service. Your network don't have reception. But for the most part, phone calls should go through. Amen? I'm trying to find somebody who's going to answer my call. Let's see if they're going to answer my call. There you go. My phone works fine. You hear it ringing? Uh-oh. Somebody got a call. Oh, he answered the call. He answered the call. He answered the call. He answered the call. Amen. He answered the call. Now, a phone is designed for one thing, really, and that is communication. Amen? Amen. But we know that many young folks use a phone for different reasons. I'm trying to be like them as well, too. I have at least 45 apps here. At least. I can't use them all, but I try to. But the big one that everyone does now, they call it, let me see if I can do it. Let's see if I can do it. Let's see. It's called a selfie. Let's see. Let's see. You about that? There you go. Right there. Where y'all at? Uh-oh. See, I can't. Oh, there it is. There it is. Selfie. Then they post it. Right? They post it because they want to show you where they've been, what they're doing. But the cell phone, again, is designed for one purpose, and that's communication. Communicate to someone in a foreign land or domestically, the purpose behind is to communicate. I just got back from Vietnam. I was in a different time zone, so it took me a while to get acclimated back to this time zone. My wife gave me a fancy word. I think it was called circadian system, where your body gets back in the mode of where you came from. So it took me a while to get back in that mode, to get back in this mode right here. But God has a plan for each one of our lives. And that plan simply is this: to get you back to the original place that he had for you before the fall of man. Mark Twain said something very interesting. He said, the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. I'm gonna say that one more time. The two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you found out why. Why were you born? Take up space, occupy time, get married, have kids. Why were you born? We're going to find out what's the purpose and plan of God's design for your life. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Romans chapter 14, verse 5. We're going to walk through God's plan for your life today. Amen? I have an interesting occupation. I work in the airline industry. In that industry, I've learned about planes, design, how they run, how they fly, how they land. Also, I learned about turbulence. And some people are afraid to fly because of turbulence. But it's not really they're afraid of flying because of the turbulence. They're afraid of dying. Because turbulence never kills anybody. But dying's okay, though, I found out, too, if you know where you're going. But the world system has not found out yet how to get to their ultimate destination. So in Romans chapter 14, verse 15, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime, they're written why? They're written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So we can have hope. Hope now and hope in the future. I'm going to talk about a character who had service for God but didn't know God. That's a bad thing to do. Serve God but not know God. We've all done it before. I can guarantee you. Who has a job in here? Anybody got a job? I hope you got a job. Amen, you got a job. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know your CEO on your job? You do? Oh, you're good then. I don't know him, but I work for him without knowing him. I'm rendering him service, but don't really know him. So go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to read about a man who didn't really know God. 1 Samuel chapter 3, give you a little background of the text here. Samuel was born to a mother named Hannah. And unfortunately, Hannah had competition in her marriage because she had, her husband had another wife. So what Hannah wanted was a child. That was her dream, to have a child. Now, how about having a child and give away your dream to somebody else? And that's exactly what Hannah did. Hannah believed God, had a child, and then gave away her child for the service of God. Because we think that when we give our kids away, we dedicate them to the Lord. Amen? But there's no guarantee on that dedication. Because why? Every child, everyone has to accept Christ for him or herself to be in God's redemptive plan. So in this story right here, in Isaiah chapter 3, Samuel chapter 3, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, but there was no open vision." No open vision. What is a vision? Well, a vision simply is God's plan, revelation, the present of what God is doing for future events. So in that time, they had no idea what God's plan was. But God has shown us what his plan is. And God has shown us what his will is for our lives. But I've learned something very valuable, that the church, the body of Christ, is not carrying out God's plan. We come to church and we had a great time in fellowship. We had a great time in worship. But God's ultimate plan for the church is ministry. His ultimate plan for the body of Christ is to share Christ with a lost and dying world. I got some alarming statistics, and I hope this is not true, but I looked it up several times on what we call the internet. And it says simply that 97% of Christians never share their faith. I will say it again. 97% of Christians never share their faith. Now, I want you to do some self-examination on that statistic. How often do you share your faith? How often do you tell people about the one you say you loved a minute ago? We sing about them on Sunday, but how about Monday through Saturday do we share to this lost world about the one that we love? 97% of Christians do not share their faith. We share our testimonies, but guess what? Your testimony is not good enough for salvation. Your testimony can't get anybody into the kingdom of God. It's only the gospel that brings deliverance and salvation to those that are lost. That's God's plan, saints. That's God's vision to the church. Let's go to Habakkuk real quick, and I'm going to come back to Samuel, so leave your ribbon there. Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 2. When you get there, say amen. And it says, and the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it shall not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. So what is that saying? It says that God has an appointed time to fulfill his divine destiny for our lives. If you go over to verse number 14, here it is laid out for you. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. I'm going to say it again. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And it says, as the waters covers the sea. So God's plan is simply this, that the word, the glory of God, should fill the earth just like the waters fill the planet. But how would that happen? How can that happen if we're not going, filling out the glory of God in the earth realm or living out the glory of God in the earth realm? It goes back again to that 97% not sharing the gospel. 97% of the people not telling about the good news of Jesus Christ. How much he loves lost humanity. Do you believe that? Well, how good is the good news then? How good is it if you're not sharing the good news? How can the lost world know that God loves them and God has a plan and purpose for their lives if we're not filling the earth up with God's glory by sharing it? You know, yesterday I went to a track meet, and I'm kind of critical. I shouldn't be, but I was kind of critical. We will put on a shirt that says, I love Jesus, but we won't share Jesus. And now I'm trying to figure out, okay, God, we don't know you, Lord, properly to share you? But I can put a shirt on and say that I love you. We got to come to a place in our lives where we walk so intimately with God that wherever we go, we're a reflection of God in the earth realm. Amen. Now, I hear people pray all the time this prayer. Lord, go by here, go by there, go do this, Lord. He ain't going to do that. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ himself is the right hand of God. He did everything he had to do. Then he gave us a delegated authority to go operate in his stead. He said, go ye out. He didn't say, I'm coming back to go back out. He said, I want you to go out. To do what? Go out into all the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Is it really good news, saints? I'm kind of questioning, is it really good news? Because if 97% are not sharing it, it must be bad news. It got to be good news, saints. God loves the world. It's not his will, plan, or destiny for any man, any boy, any girl to perish. But his perfect will is that all may come to repentance. But how are they going to know if we don't go? We've been assigned to go, saints. Let's change that statistic. Let's go back to Samuel, chapter 3. We're back in Samuel again. And with verse 1, it says, and in those days the words were precious, no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Elias was laid down in his place, and his eyes became wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out of the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And here it is, right here. The Lord called Samuel. That's the title of my message. Man, will you answer the call? Man, will you answer the call? I made a call right here. He answered the call. But God is calling you every day to pick up the phone and answer the call. Unfortunately, here, as we're going through the text, you're going to see why Samuel didn't answer the call. But you see in verse 1, it said that Samuel ministered before the Lord. It said he ministered before the Lord, but didn't know the Lord's voice. That sounds like to me like going to church, but not knowing why you're going to church. You're going there because God's trying to teach you about his plan, purpose, and destiny. Let's read on. And then it says, he answered, here I am. And he ran unto who? Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. We always run to another man to get the answer from God. That's what he did right there. It says he ran to Eli because he didn't know the voice of God. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called him yet again. And Samuel rose and went to Eli again and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. So if we don't get it the first time, we go to another man to figure out, what am I supposed to do? But again, it's God calling us, not man. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. I'm in verse 7. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. My question to you, how many times God got to call you before you answer? But God is gracious. He's going to keep calling because why? God has a plan, he has a purpose, and he has a destiny for your life. So he'll continue to call you. You may answer the call while you were young and forgot the voice of God. Through all the static electricity, all the noise around you, through all the problems, you have lost God's voice. You haven't heard that voice in a while. But God will continue to call you until you really answer the call. Answering the call simply is fulfilling your God-given destiny in the earth realm. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And then Elias perceived that the Lord called the child. Therefore Elias said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be. If he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, said, speak, thy servant heareth. That's what God is trying to get us to hear today. Say, Lord, speak to me. I'm hearing you. Speak to me. I'm hearing and I'm willing to obey your voice. Obey that voice at all costs. Now, many think God's going to call you to go to a foreign land. And I know how tough that can be. But the first call you're going to hear from God is always this, the call of salvation. That's the first call. Don't think you called a priest yet. Get the call of salvation first, and then after that, you get another call. Answer that call first. That's the most important call you'll ever receive. I know people call you all the time, but the most important call that you can ever receive in life is the call of God. And the word Jesus said that my sheep, my people, hear my voice. Do you know the voice of God? If he calls you right now, do you know that was God who spoke to me? Or do I have to run to a man and ask, what did he say, Lord? You get that call because you spend, like my sister said, time with him. You have this thing called intimacy with him. It'd be a strange thing to be married 23 years and not know my wife's voice. That would be a sad state of affairs. I know her voice because I spend time with her. You can't get on the phone and say, I'm Madeline, because I know Madeline's voice. When she's sick, I know her voice, how it sounds when she's sick. But that only comes because you spend time with that person you say you love. Do you love the Lord? Oh, I like when you say that. Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
I heard a famous evangelist say this, because everything's tied to who you love, right? Well, one evangelist said this way, and I'm not trying to get on nobody. He said that when you love somebody, you spend money on them. I want you, when you go home tonight, look at your checkbook. Because whatever you love, you're going to spend money on. Go through your ledger and see how much money you spent on the kingdom and how much money you spent on you. That's the gauge of love. God loved us. He spent not just time and effort. He gave his life for us. He gave it all for us. And all he asked us to do, spend time with him and then go back out and share his love with those that are lost. Very easy task. Not very hard at all, right? But we must know, first of all, the voice of God. Knowing the voice of God is by spending time with God, time in his presence, and understanding the vision God has given each one of us. You see, it's funny because you're born in your family because God ordained that. You're married to the person you're married to because God ordained it, believe it or not. And God wanted to utilize that structure to continually have his word go forth in that family structure. Back to the question again, are you sharing Christ as you ought to? Are you fulfilling God's divine call upon your life? Or are we just occupying until he comes? Yeah, we know the Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, all these things shall come to pass. But guess what else is going to happen? It says this gospel first must be what? Preached into all nations. But how the world going to know about Jesus Christ and his redemptive plan if we don't go preach it? You know, I just got up from Vietnam. I just said that a while ago, but I was going there to relax and unwind. Have me a good time, but since God has different plans in mind, he'll change your agenda if you let him do it. And he changed my agenda. I was going there for being a wedding and just to unwind and relax. And you couldn't get in contact with me because I'm about to unwind and relax. I have my phone there, but you couldn't call me. A friend of mine invited me out. We went out, had a great time, but then the following day, her dad had a massive stroke. So now I have to be the other person that I should have been to begin with, a witness. See, wherever you go, you're still that witness. You're still the example that God is trying to get in the earth realm to share Christ with them. Because guess what? In certain countries, they have no clue about Jesus Christ. They have no hope. They have no hope to share with their loved one about how they could become saved. So when I went there, I was just trying to figure out what they was going to do with each other. And they were relying upon man to help man. We have Christ to help us in our times of stress. We have Christ, the hope of glory, to help us when we have, seem like, no hope at all in the earth realm. But how they don't know that unless we go out and tell them about hope beyond hope. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the one that took all our pain, took all our misery, took all our suffering. He did it all for us, saints. And all he asks us to do is to be his hands. It's to be his feet in the earth realm. To be his eyes to see lost humanity and for us to walk the way he did. With compassion and love and uncompromising faith, and he will use you to do and fulfill his divine plan in your life. So the church's purpose is, go to Ephesians chapter number 4, Verse 11, We're going to see what the plan and purpose the church has in this call upon your life. Ephesians chapter 4. And I know Pastor Derry has been giving you the plan of the church. I know he's been instructing you what the call upon the church is. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, when you get there, say amen. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for what? To perfect the saints. To do what? For the work of the ministry. Till we all come into the what? Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. So again, the church job is prepare you for the work. Prepare you for the work. And I know that you guys are getting prepared properly here. I know it. So there's no excuse for why you're not going and doing what God said for you to do. Because God has put you in a place, in a position now to go out and share this good news about Jesus Christ. So I want you guys to examine your hearts when you go home today about, am I fulfilling my call upon my life? Or am I just letting people just die and drift off into eternity not knowing Jesus Christ? I had an incident that happened years ago, and I said, I'll never let this happen again in my life. Our wife and I was having some work done in my home, and these three young men came. And God always will connect you to somebody based upon some things you love as well, too. So I love to play games, video games. I'll play video games all day. Well, this young man came and said, I want to play video games with you. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to minister to him. See, God knows exactly the destiny of all humanity. And myself said, I'll do it tomorrow, Lord. He has to come back. I'll do it tomorrow, Lord. He'll come back. But you should never put off what God tells you to do today for tomorrow. So two of the guys came back. So again, I said, where's the other guy at? He said he was killed last night. Again, at that time, Christ wanted me to share him with that young man. How many times has Christ prompted you take time out your busy schedule and share the good news with Jesus Christ? It's not very hard to do. You say you love him. You say you know him. So now it's about sharing him with other people. I know you're not greedy, are you? Want to keep him to yourself? You want to keep him to yourself, huh? No, no. God is so big, he can be shared with all the world and still have enough for you as well, too. That's the kind of God we serve. God is not limited like we are. Limited in our imaginations about what God wants to do. So the question again, why won't you share Christ with your loved one? Why won't you share Christ with your neighbor? Why won't you share Christ with those who you work with? The Great Commission simply was this, go ye out to all the world and do what? Share the good news of Jesus Christ. And he's not asking you to go across the world. He's just saying, share it with your loved ones. And then go from there to your co-workers. And that can be your Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria right there. Because guess what, saints? Though you're saved and on your way to heaven, no doubt about it, the Bible has a very clear distinction on what happens in heaven. In heaven, he says that he's going to open the books up. And we're all going to stand before him ourselves. And in that book he's going to do, he's going to have a ledger. And say, you were saved in 1973 and shared your faith. You shared your faith. You shared your faith. You didn't share your faith. You see, heaven is a signed, sealed, and delivered event for us. We're going there. But the key is, what will you be doing in heaven? Well, it's based upon what you do now. Rewards you will receive based upon what you do now. So the first call is again what? The call to what? Salvation. God wants you to know him personally for yourself. Know his voice personally for yourself and able to move out in faith based upon what he tells you to do. Second call is what? Call to service. Samuel had it backwards. He was serving God first, but didn't know God. God wants you to know him with unlimited measure. Yeah, he gave you a measure of faith, but now you can cause that faith to grow to an unmeasurable level. Only comes, though, through studying God's word and getting revelation from God about your plan and purpose. I know you say, well, I'm too old for that now. I'm too old to share God. I'm too old. I'm too old, too young. Well, let me go to scripture for you. Go to Psalms 92, verse 14. You know, the Bible has an answer for everything. Our job is to get inside the Bible and figure out the answer. And if you do it on a consistent basis, God will reveal his perfect will for your life. Psalms 92, verse 14 says, are you there? And it says, they shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. So you can't be too old. And then in Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm too young. I can't. I'm too young for this, Lord. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to talk about you, Lord. The next verse says that he said, never say you're too young. You're never too old to share Christ. You're never too young not to share Christ. Because guess what? It's not you doing the work anyway. It's the Holy Spirit's job to operate through you. So I must conclude this then, that the reason why we don't share Christ is because of fear. Fear has caused us not to enjoy a lot of things in life. I know in my life, I'm afraid of the water. No, I take a shower, not that kind of water. I'm afraid of deep water. I won't go into the ocean, you know. And we went on vacation 1 year, and my wife, she's my hero. Our first year, we went to Cancun, and she wanted to swim a flipper. And I'm like, you know what, I can't deal with flipper, but I'll hold the purse for you. Then 1 year, we went on a cruise. No, we went to Mexico again. I think it was Cancun again. And all the women and all the men, they were on the boat. They were going to go snorkeling. I say, I tell you what, go enjoy yourself. I'll keep the purses with me. But guess what happens when you do that? You limit yourself on seeing things God has in store for you because of fear. Fear will keep you in bondage to certain events in life. So when you're afraid to witness to people, not only are they in bondage and can't get out, but again, you're in bondage because you can't share who you love. And God says he did not give you that spirit. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but what he said he gave was the spirit of love and joy and power. He gave you the power to share about who he is to other people. Then we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid people are going to say, I don't want that God. I don't believe, I don't think I need that God that you're sharing with me right now. But again, you've done your job. Your job was to just share. The Holy Spirit's job is to convince and convict that person about their need for Jesus Christ. So God made it very easy for us. So we shouldn't be fearful of rejection. The thing I want to talk to you about is that don't be ignorant of your assignment in life. You don't want to be ignorant. The Bible says when you are ignorant, people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, we are very blessed in this nation right now because we still have the liberty and freedom of sharing the word of God without restrictions. But there are restrictions being placed gradually upon our nation. One, I can go back in the 70s. We had freedom and liberty to pray in our schools. Kids nowadays don't know what that's like. So now we have anarchy and chaos in our schools. In the political process, there was freedom as well, too, to pray about things in our government. But again, very slowly, that's being eradicated as well, too. I'm saying that because while we have the liberty and freedom to share Christ with freedom, we ought to share him, because there's going to be a time that comes that you won't have the freedom and you will not have the liberty of sharing Christ the way we need to. And our saints throughout the world are like that. Certain places in China can't share Christ freely, but we have the opportunity to share him freely. The question again says, will you share Christ freely to your loved ones? Will you do what God called and commissioned you to do? Or will you continue coming to church every Sunday and praise him because you do love him, but not share the one you love with somebody else who don't know him? Now, keep in mind, God has given each one of us a ministry. Everybody in this room has a ministry. Yeah, you do. You do. That ministry is called the Ministry of Reconciliation. God has ordained for all of us to go out and reconcile lost man back unto himself, simply by telling the good news of Christ. Because at one point, you were lost, and you were lost, and you were lost. And thank God someone had enough courage to come along to share Christ with you and tell you that, you know what? There's a plan for your life. There's a purpose for your life. You're not just here existing, but God, by his divine plan, puts you here. And God, by his design plan, has a destiny for you to walk in. So again, Christ wants us to be his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece in the earth realm to share Jesus Christ with lost humanity. So the question is, will you do that? Will you do what God called you to do? Will you answer the call? Or will you say, Lord, I'm too busy. I don't have time right now, Lord. Or will you, what we call, screenshot God? You know, at my house, I thank God for Comcast. When someone calls my home, pops up on the screen. So I can say, you know what? I'm not answering that call. I don't know that person. I'm not answering that call. But when God calls, answer the call. Answer the call, first of all, make sure that you know him as Lord and Savior. Make sure that you've embraced the reality. Yep, I'm not just a church goer. I've accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Second call, make sure that you call, answer the call to service. God wants you to be all that you should be in life. And you can only fulfill your God-ordained destiny by answering that second call. As you grow older, you're going to find out that all those things we chase in life, those dreams, those big houses, all those things, they're transitory. They pass away. They have no real significant value. Yes, go for your house. Yeah, go for the best car you can drive. But at some point in life, it's not going to satisfy. It's not going to give you contentment in life. I can prove it to you. Go out and get a new car. That new smell, if it's great for a while, give it a week to go by, and you're like, only a car. You know why? Because inside here, in this heart, only a place for God. Only God can fill that void in that place. And that's why the world is chasing things, chasing dreams, tracing people, because they're trying to fill that void right here. And that void right here can only be filled by the one who designed that heart, Jesus Christ. So I want you guys to change your mindset. Change your agenda to get on God's agenda. Change your plan of action. This week, you guys went into your Daniel fast? Yeah? I ask God, okay, Lord, I'm fasting for what now? I'm fasting, Lord, to hear your voice, to encounter someone to share you with. To share you with. Ask him. And I guarantee God will set up divine appointments every day if you're willing and obedient. He will, because God, again, his plan, purpose is no one perish. We'll all come to a place of understanding of what God ordained for humanity to be with. And that's fellowship with him. Will you promise me this week that I'll go out and I'll share Christ with someone? Let me, by a show of hands, how many know your neighbors? By a show of hands, no, no show of hands, because you'll mess up now. I know you're going to mess up this one. In your own heart, how many of you share the gospel with their neighbors? Okay. Change that plan now. Start sharing the gospel first with Jerusalem. That's right where you're at. That's what they did. See, Jesus said this, don't go yet, but wait for the promise. Because the promise is that we need the Holy Spirit in order to speak through us. So before they went out, he said, stay right here and wait for the promise. We got the promise, right? So as you have that promise, go to your Jerusalem, your neighbors. Don't bypass Judea, though. Go to your family. How many share Christ with their family members? We have get-togethers all the time, right? We get together and play dominoes. Nothing wrong with that. We get together and play cards. We ought to have a Jesus get-together. Just get together and just share Jesus. Share Christ. Our family's hurting, saints. Our friends are hurting. How can we say that we're part of that family or have friends and not share the one who can bring healing there? And then go to Samaria. Go to your job. And share Christ. That's what God has ordained, saints. For us to share him with lost humanity. And then you can hear this. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Heaven's not a question for us. Heaven is around the corner for us. We're going to heaven. No doubt about it. But when you get there, will you hear that? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you analyze your life right now, why did God keep us here when he saved us? Why did God leave us here? I mean, if heaven's our destiny, you believe that, right? Why did God leave us in the earth realm then? It got to be a plan in mind. Well, the plan, I just laid it out for you. The plan simply is this, to go out and to share him with those who need to hear about him. Will you do that for me, saints, this week? Will you do that? Amen. Let's break that percentage. That's horrific. 97% of Christians don't share Jesus Christ. That's sad, saints. Let's change our mindset about who we are. Let's change our mindset about who he is. And let's go out and be the voice of God in the earth realm. And don't think that your position is not important. Everybody has a purpose in the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head, amen? And we take instructions from the head. Now, I'm going to tell you how important your body is, the body of Christ is. The body of Christ is like my body. Somebody's arm, right? Somebody's leg, right? Somebody's ear. But the entire body is important. I can prove it to you. That little pinky toe over there on the right side, oh, that toe's in pain for years. But I want to keep that toe. That toe keeps me balanced in life when I'm standing up. That's how important you are. You're so important, you keep the body of Christ in balance if you do what God calls you to do. So I want you to do that, saints. Amen? Amen. Praise God, saints. Praise God. I don't want to close out, though, without making sure that everybody here knows who Jesus Christ is. So I want you to close your eyes for a moment, and we're going to openly give an opportunity to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, I know many people come to church all the time, and next month, this church and church throughout the world will be packed because traditionally, everybody go to church on Easter. But the Bible says that through your traditions, you make the word of God of null effect. Traditionally. So God wants to break tradition today, and God wants you to know that he loves you. He has a plan for you, a purpose for you. Loved you so much that he came down here to die for you. But he didn't stay dead. He rose up for you as well, too. So if you're here today and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but today you would like to accept him, Just raise your hand right now where you're at. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Talking to believers, I like that. Praise the Lord. Well, since everybody's a believer now, we call this thing called backslidden. Meaning that you just have broken fellowship. You're out of right relationship with Him. You're still part of the kingdom, but yet you've backslid away. If you're here today and you know in your heart that you're not in fellowship with Christ, you're backslidden right now, and you want to come back in full fellowship with Him, raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know what I love about God? If it was just one person, He would die for that one person. That's love. If you're here today and you don't have a church home, but you feel like, you know what? I think I can serve here. I think this is what God wants me to serve. My gifts, my talents, and my skills. If you're here today, raise your hand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you raised your hand for any of those three things, please stand up right now. We're not going to embarrass you. Just raise, stand up, please, right now. And we have workers here. And they're going to show you in the Word. Praise God. Come on now. Praise God. They're going to show you in the Word the reality of how to walk this walk out in victory. Amen? So come to my right here, and they're going to take you out and show you in the Word. Let's follow them right here, please. Come on, give them a hand. Give them a hand. Praise God. Fellowship, saints. They want to get back in fellowship with God. And God wants you to witness for Him like never before. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.